Apollo 8, this is Houston. I have a little feature news and sports news for you if you'd like to hear it. Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
Roger, Frank, I have some feature page and sports page news if you'd like it.
Roger.
Roger, first of all, Frank, the guys down here on the consoles want to express their appreciation for a beautiful television job done. Roger. We'll start out with the sports news. Los Angeles Dodger pitcher Sandy Koufax and Ann Widmark, 23-year-old daughter of actor Richard Widmark, plan to marry sometime in the near future. Koufax said Tuesday that no date for the wedding was set, but he and Miss Widmark have been dating for some time. At Springfield, Missouri. Say again?
Morning, Jerry.
Morning, Jim. Let's see, in Springfield, Missouri, Mickey Owen, the old-time catcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers, who made the record books by dropping a third strike that led the New York Yankees to a victory over the Dodgers in the 41 World Series. Decided that he would be remembered by more than just the sports records. 45 boys and girls have been the recipients of ponies that he offered. These youngsters were requested to send letters to him telling him how they would care for a pony. When the letters poured in, he added five ponies to the 20 he already offered, and other donors pitched in 20 more. And said Mickey Owen, I thought I had to have about 45 letters, but I ended up with about 900. Now on the feature page, Wellington, New Zealand, about 50 men sat down to the traditional turkey and cranberry sauce at the South Pole today, but the Christmas dinner had an oriental flavor as well. It included sukiyaki, cooked by members of a Japanese party who are crossing the Antarctic continent and stopped for the day at the U.S. Navy's polar base. In San Diego, California, the crewmen of the captured intelligence ship Pueblo donated their first paycheck to the workers at San Diego's Balboa Naval Hospital. They had all been given $20 each, and when they landed in San Diego, and they felt that this was a good demonstration of their feeling for those who had done so much to make their welcome here. Apollo 8 Houston, we read your antenna change. You still reading it?
Roger, still read you.
Roger.
We did not change the antenna though, you might.
Okay.
You all changed.
In Reno, Nevada. That's affirmative, Frank. We changed the antenna from here. In Reno, Nevada, because there's no fireplace in his home, a little boy wrote Santa Claus in care of the local newspaper and suggested, would you please use the front door? You'll have to kick the bottom a little bit because it sticks. in Little Rock, Arkansas. Babies born at St. Vincent Infirmary during the week before Christmas and through Christmas Day are being released to their mothers at discharge time in huge red Christmas stockings. Here's one in ecumenical cooperation. In Indio, California, the chief of police was armed Christmas Day with a prayer book. Rabbi Philip H. Weinberg took over as chief for a day so that the real police chief, Homer Hunt, a Methodist, could spend a holiday with his family. This is the third straight Christmas the rabbi has filled in for Hunt. The previous 6 years, Rabbi Weinberg did the same for the Roman Catholic police chief of Reno, Nevada. From the Associated Press, Americans watched Pope Paul celebrate Christmas Mass in Italy, and Europeans viewed a Christmas greeting from Apollo 8 via the most powerful communication satellite yet sent aloft. The views of Pope Paul and the Apollo 8 crew Tuesday night were the first to be relayed across the Atlantic commercially by Intelsat 3, which was launched from Cape Kennedy last Wednesday. That's the one we saw go. Intelsat, the 63-nation International Communications Consortium, provides a start on the first global communications network. The new satellite is scheduled to begin full commercial service on January 2nd, initially serving the North and South America and Europe. Further coverage of the Apollo 8 mission is to be relayed to Europe this week. Washington, this Christmas the world is brightened with the hope of peace. When it comes, when hope turns to substance and the guns are quiet once again, it will come because you have pursued it with courage and skill. This was a message from President Johnson to the armed forces on Christmas. Here's a feature by Harry Rosenthal, Associated Press. This is from Houston. Two Santas brightened the Christmas Eve for two-year-old Jeffrey Lovell. The first one knocked on his front door and brought presents. The second started his daddy home from the moon. The first wore a red suit and a white beard and ho-ho'd, loud enough to be heard down the block. The second was a huge engine spinning flame behind the moon, and thousands of people were awaiting word that it had fired. Please be informed that there is a Santa Claus, were the first word from Apollo 8 as it emerged from radio silence to inform an anxious world 15 minutes after the fact that the engine had performed its critical burn. None of us expect to ever have a better Christmas present than this one, said Ken Mattingly at Mission Control. Well, thank everyone on the ground for us. You know we couldn't have done it without you, came the reply from Colonel Frank Borman, the spacecraft commander. At this point, a Christmas tree came aglow in front of the consoles and mission control, and astronaut Harrison Schmidt read a space version of a visit from St. Nicholas to the crew. It was the night before Christmas, and way out in space, the Apollo 8 crew had just won the moon race. It began. The mission control crew had delayed its celebration until Jeffrey's daddy, Navy Captain James Lovell, along with Air Force Major William A. Anders and Colonel Borman, were safely on their way home. Any other Christmas Eve, the families of the three astronauts would have been in church for Christmas services, but this year they were all glued to their television sets. The homes all near the manned spacecraft center were decorated. The lawn around the Lovell home and throughout his community of Timber Cove was lined with Mexican-style luminarios, and the four Lovell children came out to light them at about 7:30. They were just in time. At 8 o'clock, a car drove up carrying a tall Santa Claus with a large sack on his back. He ho-ho'd up to the door and knocked loudly. It opened, and there stood Jeffrey Lovell, who will be three on January 14th. Jeffrey recoiled at the sight. His mother held him up. Jeffrey clung to her, still shying away. Last year he ran away crying, said his 15-year-old sister Barbara. Earlier she had to run after him to prevent his blowing out all the luminarios. The other Lovell children, 13-year-old James, 10-year-old Susan, watched with great amusement. Finally, the Santa and the children disappeared inside. The presents were put under the tree, not to be opened until today. Mrs. Lovell prepared eggnog and cookies for the guests, and they watched the 25-minute televised tour of the moon conducted by the three astronauts. Later, friends took Mrs. Lovell, Barbara, and Jeffrey on a tour of the neighborhood, brightly lighted for Christmas. Above them, in a clear sky, the quarter moon shone brightly, and the three astronauts, who more than any other men have seen the fruits of creation, paused in their scientific exploration there to beam to the earth the majestic words from Genesis. And God created the firmament heaven, and God called the dry land earth, and God saw that it was good.
Thank you, Jerry.
Roger, we have a newspaper coming in after a while. We'll give you a little more news later.
Thank you, Jerry. That's nice. Jerry, we've chlorinated the water and we're changing the canister now.
Roger, Frank, copy. Apollo 8, Houston, would you put the biomed switch to left? And we'd like a crew status report
Roger.
On Jim and Frank when you get a chance.
Both Frank and myself had a meal before bed last night, and I believe we had about 20 clicks of water and a good night's rest just getting up.
Roger, Jim. Thank you.